Today on Piano Jazz, Marion McPartland's guest is pianist and accordionist Beef Jolly, who was a vital force on the West Coast jazz scene, known for his movie soundtracks and television themes, including Get Smart, Dallas, and MASH. On this Piano Jazz from 1986, he demonstrates his swinging piano style. We now join Marion McPartland and Pete Jolly as they begin conversing.
I've known you, through your music for years and years, and I could, in my mind's eye, I can see a record cover. Years ago, you used to record for who? Capitol?
My first albums were for RCA.
Oh, that, I think that's one of the ones I'm thinking of. In fact, at one time I had several of your albums.
That was in like the mid-50s with Shelley.
Shelley
Mann and Curtis Counts.
Curtis Counts. Now, there's a name I haven't.
Yeah, that was my very first album.
Really?
Under my own name, yeah.
Well, did you, because you're originally from Connecticut, aren't you?
Right, yeah.
Did you start playing professionally while you were still in
these? Yes, yeah, I started on accordion. My father played accordion.
It's funny, I knew that, and I thought, well, shall I mention that?
No, I might as well, then I started taking piano lessons. I was fooling around with the piano by myself, but I didn't take lessons till about fourth grade. I remember about that period. We didn't have a piano in the house. I remember how they brought it in through a window. We couldn't get it in the front door.
And in those days,
people were giving pianos away if you would just come and get it. And, these old uprights, $15 or something, and they just wanted to get rid of it because it was taking up a lot of space.
So that was my
first piano. But we couldn't get it. I remember they couldn't get it in the front door for some reason. It was just too wide. And you don't take the legs off an upright. It either fits or it doesn't, so they had to take the window out and elevate it and bring it in through a window.
I've never heard of that, but that's really in reverse. Everybody's trying to get rid of the piano, and you're so anxious to have one, you have to take the window out to get it in. I love that.
They would give you the piano if you would just pay to the freight to get carted out.
Where was this, in New Haven or someplace?
I was born in New Haven. This was a town called Wallingford.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's nice. That's. I love Connecticut.
Yeah, it's right between Hartford. Well, it's 12 miles from New Haven.
Yeah, but did you go to school there and study
piano there?
Yeah,
I went to school there, right.
Well, so then what happened?
So I just studied privately with her. And, in short, I did an awful lot of listening, but... The rest was just practicing, and I always liked to improvise. That was one of the things my teacher always got mad at me. She said, you'll never want to do what's on the paper.
I always had the same problem. Actually, I didn't really study. I probably would have done better if I had. I guess I started out improvising, and I've always had a hard time reading, but I know you're such a good reader because you play all the studio gigs and everything now that you're...
Well, now that I've gotten into that through the years of doing that type of work, it's helped me. But back then, I was reading, but I never had the patience to sit and learn a composition and memorize it and, that sort of thing.
I think jazz players have a certain mentality, or I don't know if one is impatient about playing exactly what's on the page. I think maybe that's it. You just want to get into playing something right away, which I do now. I want to get into hearing you play something right away. So what'll you do for us as a solo, Pete Jolly?
I was going to do a tune that was written by Bronislaw Kaper, While My Lady Sleeps. He also wrote the famous Green Dolphin Street.
Yeah, but now this one is just as lovely a tune, but not as well known, is it?
It's not as well known, no.
It'd be nice to hear it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
that's really a nice tune. Now I've heard you play it, I'm inspired to learn it myself.
Thank you.
Well, how do you learn your tunes? I mean, like that one, for instance, did you just hear it on a record? Or?
Yeah, I heard it. I think it was Al Cohn and Chuck Wayne, and the first time I ever heard it. It was many, many years ago.
Is that when you learned it?
Yeah.
It's funny, I guess that's how I've learned tunes, too.
I hear records,
I hear an arrangement that somebody does that I like, and the way they play it, it just sort of inspires me to do it. I'm going to have to do that one now, because after a while, I get tired of playing Green Dolphin Street. People ask for that all the time, don't they?
All the time. It's one of the most popular tunes. It seems like a jazz tune. It's Funny Valentine was for a long time. I guess it still is.
It still is. But, you know, I'm wondering if Green Dolphin Street, if that had anything to do with the fact that Miles recorded it.
Oh, yeah, that was the big thing. When Miles did it, that was...
That made it okay for everybody to do it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, please play something else before we go any further. I'd just love to hear some more music.
Yeah, I'd like to do a tune that we recorded a while back called Never Never Land. It's from a show called Peter Pan.
I love this tune and nobody does it, so please, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you've got such a lovely touch, Pete. Oh. And that tune, who wrote that?
Peter Pan, it's...
I don't, I'm just curious.
Julie Stein.
Julie Stein. It's Julie Stein. Funny, for some reason or other, that is another tune that isn't played a lot. You know, so far you've come up with some winners, because it's really nice to hear these tunes that aren't done every day. I enjoyed that on the plane coming out here. I was listening.
Oh, really? Thank you.
I was listening to your tape.
Yeah, that's tunes I guess you pick up, you know, through the years of listening. And,
sure.
That's.
Did you? I think I read somewhere where you and your group, or you maybe as a solo, I don't know, opened at Dante's. Were you the ones to open
originally,
that club?
Originally, yeah.
When did that open? That's a famous club here in Hollywood.
Back in 65 or 66.
Did you ever do much to piano playing?
Not really, no, and I never have it. It's
because we could have done a little bit in a minute.
Sure, yes. I'm going to look forward to that.
All right, let's do one. I hear a rhapsody.
Okay, we're going to...
Let's see, I'm going to do the first half, okay?
Right, okay.
This is arrangements while you wait on the
air. We've talked about this, right?
Yeah, okay. And I should tell people who are listening that, you know, they have this thing in stereo, Pete, so that the person that's on the right comes on the right channel, and the person at the left piano comes on the left channel.
Okay.
You know, so if they decide they want to tune me out, they can. No, it's kind of nice people to know that. Then you know who's doing what. I think that's what's nice about it. So anyway, here we go.
I'm really enjoying this show, so we'll play here. Thank you.
Great, yeah, it all worked out.
It was a ball.
Yeah, that,
that
is. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to me to play with somebody like you who I've listened to for so many years, on and off. Then when you sit down and hear how the other person really puts their chords together and their changes, you know, you're playing some better changes on that tune than I'm doing. Actually, I heard a couple of...
Well, I don't know. I heard some things, some changes you were playing that were enlightening, really. So, I mean, I think everybody has their way of putting changes to different tunes, it seems
I think so. And voicings, it's really interesting to me hear all these different things. Well, I'm going to have a go at playing a tune for you now.
Ah, beautiful.
This is one by Johnny Mandel. And I guess it's sort of like... Everybody plays, like with Branislaw Capers, everybody plays Green Dolphin Street. With right. Johnny Mandel, everybody plays Shadow of Your Smile.
Right.
But I recently learned another tune of his, which it's sort of on my hit parade, Close Enough for Love. Do you do that one?
Oh, that's a good tune, though. I've never done it, though. I fooled around with it, but not enough to...
Well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fool around with it and see what happens.
Anything Johnny writes is... He's written some beautiful songs.
Hasn't he? But anyway, here goes with Close Enough for Love.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
That was gorgeous.
Thank you. I just really...
Where you play that?
Well, you were telling me a minute ago that you did actually make some four piano things. You've been holding out on me.
Right, yeah. It just went back. It was so many years ago, and I just almost forgot about it. We did two albums for RCA. Marty Page did that, and he wrote the arrangements. It was his album, and he used four pianos. Jimmy Rolls, of course, Marty Page played, and John Williams of the...
You mean the John Williams of the Boston
of
Pops?
Of Boston Pops.
And oh, myself. Then I didn't realize he was a dyed-in-the-wool jazz player years ago, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, I think originally he did a lot of studio work out here, and then he got into composition and writing, and just, you know, from there, as you know.
So that was the four pianos, Pete Jolly, that's you, John Williams, Marty Page, and Jimmy Rolls.
Rolls.
Oh, that... Jimmy
and there
Rolls.
Was a rhythm section, and, and
oh, they had
I think
a rhythm
Jack Sheldon played
too?
On one
how
of them,
did they,
too.
How did they incorporate four pianos and a rhythm section? How could they do that?
Well, Marty had it all figured out. You know, he's pretty good at mapping these things out. He had everything kind of laid out of who was to play what. We all had our own parts.
I guess you'd have to, because otherwise that would be a conglomeration of pianos. I mean, even with two pianos, like you and I are sort of winging it, but if you have four, you've got to know where you're at, haven't you?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I did one with Dick Hyman. It was Dick Hyman, me, Roland Hanna, and Hank Jones. And we had the same thing, you know, like this person would be comping, and the second person would take the melody, the third would maybe be laying out.
Well, you'd have to lay out. Somebody has to lay out once in a while.
I know.
It gets too busy, yeah.
I know. Otherwise, it'd be, my goodness, what do you call four pianos? A pride of piano players? I'm trying to think of a good word.
Yeah, it was a...
But, well, come on, let's do another duet.
Okay.
Let's do, this tune is one you suggested, Dearly Beloved, it's a good song. Why don't you set this one so you know what tempo you like to play it at?
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, that's a great song.
Yeah, it's a nice tune to play on.
It is.
Yeah.
There's more to come on Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland and her guest Pete Jolly on this program from 1986. This is Piano Jazz from NPR Music.
Pete Jolly, what are you doing now? I mean, the way of gigs. Are you playing in the studios?
I've been working on, you know, TV shows, and through the years I've done a lot of different things as far as studio work is concerned, from, you know, recording dates and record sessions and...
Do you play with people like Neil? Neil Hefti?
I worked with him on The Odd Couple when he did that.
Yeah,
that's...
It's been
quite a while, though.
There's some great arrangers out here. Do you ever get to work
with... Don Costa, a lot of things done here with some things with Sinatra and some back in those days when Don was still living.
Well, come on, Pete. I'd like to hear you play some more without me joining in. Just a nice, pretty tune on your own.
What can we put? You and the Night and the Music?
Howard Dietz, right? Howard Dietz and Arthur Schwartz.
Is that who that is?
Yeah, that's one I do know.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You sure are keeping your technique up. You must talk about woodshedding. You must be doing that every day.
Well, I did it. Yeah, I told you the other day, Saturday, I sat down. Yeah.
Do you still, do that on a regular basis?
Not really. You know, you get tired of, you know, it's interesting, but you do get, you know, if you're playing every day doing something, it's hard to go sit at the piano
It's hard for me. I sit down and just play tunes. I mean, years ago, I used to play scales and do all that stuff.
Well, right, yeah. That's...
But I don't know, I stopped. I just play songs if I'm going to practice or trying to learn something new. I learned a couple of Claire Fisher tunes while I was out here last time.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, he's got some...
Oh, he's got some great tunes.
Hasn't he? Do you write? Have you written some?
I've written a few things, yeah. Not a lot. I did... Dick Grove and I wrote a tune called Little Bird that won a Grammy. Not won
right.
a Grammy. We were... It was nominated for a Grammy. This is in, I know, middle 60s.
That tune's on one of your tapes. How does that go? Play a little bit of that thing. Just a little bit.
Well,
or play the whole thing.
Well, it's... Recorded it like a bossa nova.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, it was...
Oh, that's... I remember
that.
It got
a lot of airplay, you know, and then the company went under, and it was the end of that.
Well, you're just going to have to re-record it. Do it.
Yeah, I think we... Well, that's one of the things
we'll do.
Do
that
again.
What else? You got some other ones? That was the best known one, I realize now.
And then another thing called Skating. Haven't played it for, it was like Skating, I think it was. And so on, and then there was
That's a wild little
yeah, it was a
pattern.
I haven't played it in a while.
Well, that is some skating. That's skating on thin ice.
Skating. Then there was the other thing was a ballad. And
do you teach at all?
No.
Did you ever?
Yeah, I did it one time. Yeah, it was a long time ago. And then I got busy working, and I just didn't have the time to put into it and do it right. I think if you're going to teach it, you have to dedicate a certain amount of time and prepare yourself for it and do it right.
That's true. That's true.
You know, it's...
Incidentally, I'm not prepared for this next tune because this one's going to be a duet. And you're on the right, I'm on the left, but you're the one that really knows the tune. This is Barbados, but it's only a blues, isn't it?
It's just the blues.
Good. Will you play the head, and okay. Then I'll just... play the blues changes.
All right, let's see. Thank you.
Oh, that's a good one, Barbados.
Barbados.
That isn't played as much as some of the other ones. Like,
I couldn't think of the name of that tune.
Well, I kept thinking that was Confirmation, but anyway, I'm going to try another solo, if that's all right with you.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, please. Yeah.
And this is one by Hoagy Carmichael.
Ah.
I was out in Louisville a couple of weeks ago, and I saw Jimmy Rainey. I don't know what this has to do with anything, except he and I recorded this tune a million years ago, and I've always liked it. New Orleans. Uh-huh. New Orleans. I can't say it properly. How do you keep such good time? Your time is so wonderful. Do you have it in your head? I mean, it's sometimes I have trouble. Like, sometimes I feel as if I can play real good time. Other times, not so hot. But you seem like one of those guys that has that built in.
I don't know. It might go back to when I was studying. I had a teacher once that said, "Don't ever let me catch you with a metronome."
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. He was really adamant about it. He said, no metronomes. He said, when you're practicing exercises or whatever, don't ever. I don't know. He never really gave me a reason why not to. So I said, well, okay, if that's the way you feel about it. I never owned one, you know. So I don't know whether that had any bearing on trying to, keep time within my own, mind. You know, I don't have an answer for it, but I remember when I was a kid, he said, well, I don't believe in metronomes.
Well, it's funny because it's just the opposite of Lenny Tristano. I went to him for a lesson once. I don't know, probably people have heard me talk about this before, but it left its impression on me because he was very insistent about using a metronome.
Is that right?
Yeah. And which is exactly the opposite of what you're saying. And there's something to be said on both sides because actually if you can establish your own time center in your own brain, which evidently you're doing, that you can, whatever
well,
you play.
That's possibly what he had in mind. I don't know, but I assume that's what he meant when he said, don't use a metronome.
But it certainly comes out that way. Well, let's have... Well, first, I must say this, what a kick it is to finally meet you and get together with you, because I've been a fan ever since I first heard your first record, you know.
Such a pleasure to play with you and meet you today and do this show. I really was looking forward to it when you called me a few weeks ago and told me you'd like me to do the show. I was really ecstatic about the whole thing. I said, wow.
Isn't it nice that two people can, it's sort of serendipity or something, two people can meet and sit down and play. I guess that's what is so nice about jazz.
And what's wilder, too, I've talked to you know everybody I've told I'm doing the show, they say, oh, yeah, I listened to that show. It's a great show.
Well, I'm glad. Thanks for the advertising, Pete. We'll send you the check in the mail.
All right.
Okay.
What are we going to do here now?
We're going to do Olio.
Olio.
And, I don't know. You started out. You're the guest.
All right, here we go. Thank you.
That's it.
That's fun.
You've just heard a 1986 episode of Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland and her guest Pete Jolly. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio and was created by Dick Phipps. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson. Recording engineer, Chuck Britz. Mastering engineer, Bill Sexton. Production assistant, Luke Phillips. Executive producer, William D. Hay. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the Friends of Piano Jazz, NPR, and NPR member stations. Support for this episode's original production was provided by Exxon Corporation. The digital archiving of Piano Jazz was provided by Save America's Treasures through a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service Department of the Interior. Support for NPR comes from the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org. And the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.